So essentially, anything you do that takes that into consideration while you and you deny a household is illegal. The only area in the prohibited practices that I think raises questions and is one of the reasons that disability is the most oft filed on protected class is disabled individuals have the right under the law to request a reasonable accommodation or modification to a property. And this is in the private market. In the federal and subsidized housing, the ADA comes into play, but it does not come into play in the private market other than the rental office and models, okay? So an individual who has a disability, if they have a physical disability and they need grab bars in their bathroom, they have the right to ask the housing provider to be allowed to put them in. The housing provider has the obligation to say yes, and they're put in at the tenant's expense, okay? In accommodations, an accommodation is an exception to a rule, policy, or procedure. Very common accommodations have to do with service animals or parking, things of that nature. This is where state law and federal law take different paths as to what a service animal is. But the test for whether one has the right to be granted an accommodation or a modification is the same for both. First, the person must be disabled. Secondly, what they're asking for must be necessary. There must be a nexus between their disability and what they're asking for. And third, it has to be reasonable. One of the things that make things unreasonable when it comes to modifications is if I can't build a ramp to code, then it's unreasonable. Okay, this is an area that is very detailed simply because the number of complaints that have been filed, but I'm willing to answer any questions you have. I just don't want to belabor it. Are there any questions I can answer? Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
So I'll take over from here. So the things that we wanted to discuss primarily around fair housing and municipalities are the reasonable accommodations that Margaret just discussed, fair housing and zoning land use policies, and formally furthering fair housing. How do the new rules that HUD has put out differ from the old rules, and what are some examples of communities' best practices? Here's a couple ways that communities can get in trouble in their land use and zoning policies. So overly restrictive codes, including land use and zoning ordinances, things like spatial requirements for group homes. Some municipalities, and it's pretty common in Wisconsin, have restrictions on the siting of group homes for persons with disabilities. For instance, an ordinance might say no group homes within 2,500 lineal feet from another group home. Other ordinances say things like the population residing in group homes can exceed X percent of this aldermanic district population. And under the Fair Housing Act, this is seen as limited housing opportunities for persons with disabilities. So that one can be a problem. Additionally, definitions of family and occupancy standards can run into problems with things like that. Just like the group home ordinance, it can create limitations for persons living in group homes. The definitions of family have numerical limits on unrelated persons and occupancy standards based on familial status. There was a case from Cicero, Illinois, in which they created strict occupancy standards after there was an influx of Latinos in their community because they knew Latinos had bigger families. And not only were the Latino families larger in general, but the occupancy code was enforced irregularly only to the Latino families and not to white families that were also large. Things like certification or hearing requirements. Go ahead.
That last one. The issue was that the enforcement was inequitable, not that it was being enforced.
Right, right. Yeah, they were only fining or ticketing the Latino families. Although, because of where that policy, it was enacted after there was this growth in Latino families, somebody could have made a case around that as well.
Well, they can make a case about it.
Sure. Certification or hearing requirements. In what incidences does your community require hearings? Does it pose an added and discourage? Does it have discouraging hurdles that for developments that will likely house members of a protected class, like a multifamily housing group? Does it add significant challenges to developments that will house members of a protected class? Same with neighbor notification requirements. Does it add extra hurdles? And then special condition and conditional use permits. Does your zoning make distinctions between family and senior multifamily housing? We just talked about that. We've seen senior multifamily housing as a permitted use in some communities, whereas family multifamily housing was a conditional use, so it required extra permitting, and I think that could be something that would open up a community to some liability. Things like housing mix policies. Here's a couple examples. New Berlin had a housing mix policy where they wanted only 20% of their housing units to be rental, 80% to be homeownership. And the city of Waukesha did something similar with a different ratio, 35 to 65. And this gets kind of tricky because in Waukesha, whites rent 41% of the time, blacks rent 77% of the time, Latinos rent 63% of the time, American Indians 68, Asian 64. So persons of protected class, race, ethnicity, ancestry are all more likely to be renters. And so when those rental households start being limited, that could be a problem. Waukesha, a little bit less so because it's not 80-20, it was 65-35. New Berlin, I think the 80-20 could be a little bit limiting and could get them into trouble. On that same note around senior versus family tax credit housing, the city of Brookfield did do a deed restriction to maintain a development proposal as senior. They would only approve it at the council if it was going to be maintained as senior throughout perpetuity. And as Margaret was saying, we know that elderly housing is more likely to draw from a market of a smaller radius. So from a fair housing world and a world where we're looking at issues of segregation, if you're looking to maintain a white community, the elderly housing will draw your circle, and you're already a white community, will draw your circle very close. You'll be able to maintain a white community. Family housing is likely to draw from a larger radius, and so there's more likely to be diversity with family housing. And so over and over again, we're seeing cases that come up around family versus elderly housing and which communities choose them and for which reasons.
So Brookfield lost that case.
No case was made on that.
But you're implying that it's discriminatory.
We do have a fair housing HUD complaint against Waukesha County, and that was a component of that HUD complaint.
That's
But Brookfield, I mean, I suppose it could have been a case.
Well, the theory of law is disparate impact. those policies will have a negative impact on minority communities, much more so than on the existing white community. So it's disparate impact is the theory of law that goes under.
Yeah, affordable housing and fair housing, that's where they become synonymous in some cases, where denying affordable housing, you're like, I'm just denying based on income. However, in Metro Milwaukee, where African Americans make 49 cents to the dollar, discriminating on income can be the same as discriminating on race. Things with zoning densities. In Seward communities especially, can affordable housing be built? Are minimum lot sizes and home sizes too high to build affordably? Do you have land zoned for multifamily housing? And is it zoned so a tax credit developer can make it work in your community? So in Waukesha, I'd just like to pick on Waukesha. This might be a density at 30 units per acre, but in other low-cost communities, a developer could make a project work at a lot lower density. There's also discrimination, fair housing discrimination, that harms municipalities. There was a case in Baltimore where the city of Baltimore filed a lawsuit against Wells Fargo because they alleged that Wells Fargo's predatory and discriminatory lending practices actually harmed the city. There's all kinds of cases in which cities can do a lawsuit against a bank or a real estate developer, things like that. So on to affirmatively furthering fair housing. So the history behind affirmatively furthering fair housing goes back to the 1960s when, based on some race riots that were going on, the Kerner Commission was formed. And what they found was that essentially these kinds of practices, discriminatory practices, and policies that have occurred over time created two separate communities, and segregation was the result. And so the idea behind that is that we have to fix that. So the Fair Housing Act passed in 1968. One component of the Fair Housing Act is don't discriminate. The other component is this affirmatively furthering fair housing. So it's not a new component. It's just been newly defined. And what that affirmatively furthering fair housing component says is essentially to go beyond simply refraining from discriminating and try to right the wrongs of the past, try to create more opportunities affirmatively. Let's see. So that's the story behind affirmatively furthering fair housing. So who does it apply to? In the state of Wisconsin, it applies to the cities listed in the top and the counties of Dane, Milwaukee, and Waukesha. That's what brings us all here now is the Milwaukee County obligation and to the state of Wisconsin.
Why some communities and not others, Corey?
Oh, communities that get federal housing dollars are entitlement jurisdictions. So if you get HUD community block grant dollars, HUD home dollars, emergency shelter grant dollars, things like that. So that's where Milwaukee County gets those dollars, and then that obligation extends to all of their grantees and their cooperative municipalities.
So Franklin gets CDBG block grant money, which is why you're here. That's been declined.
Well, that and you wanted to hear about all of this.
We're delighted by your personalities and your knowledge, absolutely. But the CDBG money's been being reduced over the years, and I envision a time where it won't be available to us at all. How would that impact us and affirmatively promoting fair housing?
I think then the tie becomes a lot weaker. Some people are saying that any kind of federal dollars that come to your community triggers this. I don't know that that's been proven
yet.
You
don't get any money anyway, so.
Yeah. But federal highway dollars, any of that that comes through, then maybe you're okay.
For the record, I am not looking to get out from under any obligation.
All right.
Let me write that down.
Today is December the 17th.
Yeah, I got that. All right. So up until summer of 2015, HUD defined that AFFH obligation as the community that's getting the federal dollars has to conduct an AI, which was analysis of impediments. They had to take actions to overcome the impediments that were identified, and then they have to report back to HUD on what they did. So now it's a little bit more clear what communities are supposed to do. Milwaukee County, along with every other community that gets federal dollars, was confused. Okay, how do I do this plan? What's this plan need to entail? What are the details? And so essentially, HUD came up with new standards. There, as I said, there was a lot of confusion. So they created something new, the assessment of fair housing. It's a more standardized document. Most communities could complete them in-house if needed. The HUD provides data and mapping to the communities. It has a direct tie to the Milwaukee County's consolidated plan. And different than before, this assessment needs to be submitted to HUD and approved. And there's a lot of community engagement required. Now, I apologize. I don't know if dimming the lights would help.
Better.
Oh, yeah, that one's a lot better.
The monitors are better, yeah.
So these are maps of Milwaukee County, and then the one on the left, and that Franklin is the one on the right. What you're seeing there is just race. So you can see in Milwaukee County the extreme segregation. Black population is the greenish blue. White population is the orange, and Latino is the bluish towards the on the near south side of Milwaukee. Franklin, you kind of have a spattering, primarily white, but no real segregation. Although I do know the House of Corrections right there, it shows up kind of funny in all the Franklin maps, that you do have a
by the way, since you are here to help us from the government, kind of that line that goes across. Two-thirds of the way down?
Yeah.
That's Ryan Road. There's nothing south of there. So
yeah.
So don't say we're discriminating.
Right here, this part?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, that must be really a lot of farmland. That yeah.
It is.
I don't think I ever
go down
there.
A lot of federally described wetlands as well.
That's where the landfill
okay.
is.
Yeah, so really your city is right up here. Okay. Good to know.
I just wanted you to have the proper impression of our community.
Would you take that off your calendar?
Oh, all right, let me write that down. All right. So the next one, these are the kinds of things that this HUD mapping shows us. So it's nice to get a little picture of your community. Okay, here is voucher concentration. So the housing choice voucher or the rent assistance voucher, the more dense, neither of these show it that great. The more dense the voucher proportion, the darker the gray, and so it doesn't appear that's dense in any part of the county except the city, kind of the central city and the near south side. So here's Franklin over here. There's a little bit of extra density right here. Is that still Franklin, or am I getting
mm-hmm.
another municipality there? Okay. All right.
That's interesting to look at this map because it shows an pretty even distribution of those who are on assistance.
Well, one thing I should say is each dot represents 75 people of that race ethnicity, and it's randomly located within a census tract, so it doesn't show exactly where
tracks.
People are. Yeah.
All right.
There's that whole privacy thing. All right, so this is school proficiency. So the darker the gray, the more proficient your school district or your school, the area of a school. So different shades of gray for, up here is a little bit higher performing school area. Down here, do you even have any schools down there? No.
No.
Okay.
But there's also no people or very
yeah. Yeah.
But here again, we're looking at census tracts. So
right, exactly.
Whatever it's worth.
So it gets averaged out a little bit. Whoops. So this one is publicly supported housing. So it shows where all the public housing, other multifamily, which I think is like some of the rural housing and Section 202, different kinds of publicly supported housing, project-based Section 8, and then tax credit housing. Based on these colors. So there's the county, and here's Franklin. You've got an assortment scattered about. Do you know, I don't know off the top of my head, is all your tax credit housing elderly? There's not a lot of non-elderly outside the city of Milwaukee. I know West Dallas has a bunch.
I don't believe we have any, but okay. I could be wrong. And again, that's census tract scatter.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how many census tracts you have, so... This is just something I put in this morning. Oh, and then persons with disabilities. They have another map that has the sensory disabilities with people who are blind or deaf, or I believe there's one other one that I'm missing. This is persons with ambulatory disabilities, self-care, or independent living disability. Again, it looks nicely scattered about, although if you were seeing a concentration, you know, it might be something where you think perhaps we need more transit access here, or the things to look at when you're looking at affirmatively furthering fair housing.
Is this data available?
Let me go back.
The reason I ask you is it would be helpful information for our fire department.
So this website right here, go to it, you pick your jurisdiction, and then you can play around with all these maps.
But they all maintain census tract data rather than GIS map data.
Yes, they're all based on census tract. Yeah, you can't mess around with the like zip code or...
It's relatively meaningless to us. Yeah. The way the census tracts are laid out screws everything up.
But this it is a fun website if you're at all a map nerd like I am. Okay.
That map right there, the one back. Up in the corner, why are those lines drawn up?
Oh, you know what? This is the border of Milwaukee, I think. This one right here?
Yeah.
No? Mm-hmm. Is that Franklin?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, that's what I'm confused by, because that's the district I represent, so.
There's a... Well, doesn't matter.
Well, I know that they drew a line around what I believe was the city of Milwaukee's jurisdiction. Well, see, it's the same. It's
that
the
area
same
served
line
by
that's
Milwaukee
right here.
Water.
Oh, and it also has some Milwaukee postal.
That's
mailing.
A zip code issue.
Yeah,
but the zip code doesn't even go down that far.
Well, that's not 532. No.
Actually, the top line is not college. The line
was oh, yeah, Sandy's got it. Yeah.
So you are correct that is Milwaukee.
This is College Avenue.
No, one more.
Nope,
one
this.
More there. And then where the
yep,
corner
that's
meets,
College Avenue. See, there's Loomis and College.
Then go to east. Now there's
that's
27th
Street. This is not.
Okay.
This
so it is
I-94.
Milwaukee.
Oh.
All right.
Oh.
I was just
going to
ask to leave.
Boys. Mystery solved. All right.
Yeah, we'll keep her. Another 32 years.
That's fair. So back to what the definition of affirmatively furthering fair housing is. Basically, what HUD wants us all to know, and Milwaukee County wants me to tell you, is it's taking those proactive steps beyond combating discrimination, fostering more inclusive communities and access to community assets for all protected classes. They want you to address any kinds of disparities in access to community services and assets, overcome segregated living patterns. I'm not seeing that on your map, although if it were done a little differently, maybe you would start to see some trends. Promote and support integrated communities and racially and ethnically concentrated areas of poverty, and foster and maintain compliance with civil rights and fair housing laws. Now, you can see where Milwaukee County overall, some of these make a lot of sense. Some of these are harder to kind of see what your role is as a smaller community or as a community that still has some rural aspects to it, but I think it does really make sense overall when you're looking at the county.
More useful for the city.
I imagine the data that is in all of those might be down. You might be able to download it, and your urban planner on staff may be able to do something with it if they have a GIS background.
Can you overlay a city map on top of that and come up with that?
Well, the problem is it's census tracts, and census tracts are pretty strangely defined areas. I mean, it's caused us, Alderman Wilhelm and I, significant issues in the past trying to promote the city, and it gives an inaccurate picture of what our our geography really is and what our census really is. But the direct answer is we can get the data, we can put it into GIS and map it accurately. And Milwaukee County has the same GIS mapping that we do, and they're tied together. So there's no reason why Milwaukee County can't use this data and map it to address as opposed to census tract.
And then Milwaukee County is going to be engaging in their assessment of fair housing in the next year or so. And so that might be something that you request specifically, you know, as you start this planning process, let's get some maps like that, or not.
I have something to note over in the 3rd District. It seems to be the densest populated area in all of Franklin. It was probably developed first. And there seems to be the homes are closer together. I mean, there's a huge difference between the district I represent and the district when Mayor represents, where, you know, someone just does the wrong thing in their driveway and I get a phone call, and out there they can barrel burn and she doesn't even get a phone call. So it's a much challenging district to represent. I frequently get a lot of requests for transportation because it's so densely populated.
Sure.
And there is a fair amount of low income and seniors. And that the fact that there's a lot of business development that's within walking distance that people would like to walk to in that area, which is not heard of in, like I said, in like 6th District or some of the other districts where people just, they don't walk.
Yeah, do you have sidewalks in your district?
No. Well, I'm trying to do that. I've been working very hard because they've required connectivity. People have been asking for it. In addition to the many senior centers, the parks, the schools, we have both a high school very near and a grade school and several senior centers, and they're all kind of in one area, and everybody seems to want to get to different places, but it's been a little challenge to make that happen. So.
Yeah, a lot of communities where they started out as car-centric communities to try to recreate them into walkable lens itself has a lot of challenges.
Yeah.
All right. So whoever works with CDBG the most in Franklin may be familiar with a document like this. So Milwaukee County, we think that they, from a fair housing vantage point, they came up with a great document, their cooperation agreement, where they said, how do we, because they have the mandate to affirmably further fair housing, how do we ensure that we pass that along to our communities that we cooperate with? And so they developed this cooperation agreement that all the 17 communities that they work with, where you get to commit to 3 things over 3 years that you get to do to affirmably further fair housing, and that's what we're here again for now. Where I think you're checking one of those things off your list for 2016. Things they said, like make changes to zoning districts to better connect transportation, to areas zoned for multifamily housing, work with the county's program to identify and outreach to landlords and municipalities to encourage participation in the rent assistance program, train elected officials like we're doing tonight on affirmably furthering fair housing, and train first point of contact staff, so people who answer your phones so they understand where, if a fair housing issue were to arise, where they might be able to direct and make referrals.
I need to interrupt one other second. For the record, we also have from the Board of Zoning and Building Appeals, Anthony Magna. So just for the record.
All right.
Sorry, Tony.
So this is a look at, like, who's doing what in Milwaukee County based on that thing. So here's Franklin down here. I've got you filled in on train elected officials. And I think that's all I had when I went to look at it earlier this year in the county's office. But here's what other communities are doing, providing a list of expiring TIFs. Creating an inventory of developable land for multifamily housing, landlord outreach for the Housing Choice Voucher Program, et cetera. So that's what the county's doing to try to meet this obligation and ensure integrated county.
Greendale's on the stick there.
when we look at Greendale.